You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, welcome back. We have reached the final hour, and so many times during the basketball season, we have the opportunity here on the set to talk to Patrick Young, who played at the University of Florida. We have such a great time, and the last time I saw him at the end of the basketball season, he was telling me about his plans to head to Nebraska, where he was going to be married this summer. And if you have not heard his story about what happened since, please stick around, because some of this is really unbelievable. Patrick Young joins us. Patrick, first of all, it's so great to see you. And I so vividly remember that last conversation, and wow, a lot has happened since then. Good afternoon, and to ask how you were doing, how you currently are doing, would take a long time. So we are going to ask you to tell us the story about what happened since we've seen you last. A lot has happened.
Well, yeah, a lot has happened. And Paul, first I want to say thank you for the opportunity of being on your platform. You know, I've had a great pleasure of getting the times I've had to come on the show with you and joke around. And it's just, it's been, you know, these last 57 or 58 days since my accident has been so eye-opening. So after things ended up with college basketball this year, after the tournament, after Arkansas got knocked out by Duke, my season was over. And I got to tell you, I can't wait for this upcoming football season and basketball season. But my lease was up on my place in Jacksonville, and my wife and my stepdaughter, we were preparing for marriage. So I saw it fit to spend a good amount of time with her and her family up in Nebraska, up in O'Neill, Nebraska. It's about 3 hours from Omaha, a small town, about 3,500 total there. And I was working. I was playing a lot of golf. Let me tell you that. My handicap was getting down there. I was playing so much golf, but also I was doing a little bit of side work, working on some irrigation pivots on some farms. And it was awesome. It was a good chance to do something with my hands. You know, it's just such a good feeling when you work a full day and you just know you've put in a good hard day of work. And it was about 10 days before our wedding date. And I was on a dirt road. I was driving an older truck and ended up just losing control of it as I was going over a slope. And I'll be the first to admit, I didn't have my seatbelt on. I was being extremely casual at the time with life, in the sense, you know, I was only going 2 miles up the road, wasn't speeding, was going about 30 miles per hour. But after the slope, the stop sign was within 20 to 30 feet, that there wasn't time to get out of the way. So my car ended up going completely parallel to the highway and thank God it flipped over one time. You know, multiple times would be a much different situation. And the biggest thing of it all was that after the car flipped over down this ditch, I was able to grab my phone and call my coworker. If I wasn't able to get my phone at the time, I would have been down there for hours. Because when my coworker, he was behind me, he was well behind me, he didn't see the accident. He was in another truck that got stuck in the dirt, and he was following up behind me. He said when he got to the stop sign, you couldn't see a car. You couldn't tell that there was an accident. But after, you know, we got help, I was life-flighted to South Dakota, where I had an 8.5 hour surgery to repair my T7 and T8. In my back, I got 2 rods and 12 screws in my back and a pretty awesome scar. Then after I got discharged from that hospital, I was there for about 2 weeks. I went up to the amazing Model Spinal Cord Rehabilitation Center in Craig Hospital in Denver. And I just left there last Friday. And normally a person stays there for about 2 to 3 months. I was there for a month and a half because I just have the ambition, just have the drive and determination that I am in control of defining this story. That what has happened is not going to define who I am, the man I'm going to be, the man I get to be for this young lady right here. That's my daughter. Nothing that has happened is going to affect me being a good husband, a good dad, great at my job, and whatever things can come in the future. And I'm going to use this platform to just inspire, Paul. And I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to talk with you. Yeah, there's my baby girl right there that I got to spend so much time with. And it's been a great thing to bring my family so much closer together, Paul, in all honesty. I can't say this is what I asked for, but I'm just grateful for the growth and the challenges that it's made me face as a man. And how I'm going to carry out the rest of my life.
And Patrick, so after the accident, and for those who know anything about the spine, we're talking about really serious, debilitating injury. You found yourself paralyzed. How, I don't even know how to ask this question. How do you process that news and what inspires you to try to rehab and hope for a miracle?
Well, there's multiple facets to that, Paul. First off, every single spinal cord injury is different. And there's been so much education that I thank again for Craig Hospital. I have to give them credit for the education that they help you learn with how to deal with your body, how to deal with going with the procedures and processes of taking care of your bowels and your bladder, and whatever that may be, your skin as well, things that you don't think about, things we just naturally do. But also for me, my faith has been a tremendous aspect for me. It's like, do you really believe? Do you really believe what you say you believe? You go to church, you say these words, but now that you're faced with an obstacle that you cannot overcome with your own willpower, do you believe that there is more, that the impossible can happen? And that has been just inspiring for me, for my family, knowing that I'm putting the pressure on God's promises, and whatever is going to come from this, that again, Paul, my life is not over. I have an amazing family. I have an amazing support group. There is so much more. Physically, there's limitations, but mentally, relationally, whatever it may be, all these things that I still dreamt of, they're not going to happen in the exact way, but they're still going to be fruitful. They're still going to be awesome. And it is my job. I can control my attitude. I can control my perspective. I can control every single day that I'm just going to be the best man I can be for the woman that's of my dreams, for my daughter, for my family, for anyone and everyone that's listening and watching me. And I'm not doing this. It's not a facade. This is real life. I'm being the authentic version of myself. And again, Paul, it's not that I don't have days and think like, oh, man, this really sucks. This is tough. But again, I just bounce back to those things of I have life and I have a great people around me that are going to push me and not let me have a pity party. Cause I don't want pity. I don't need it. It's not going to help bring more life. And this smile that I have that I want to bring to the world and continue to work with you. And I tell you, Paul, when October, November comes, I'm still coming for you hot in some nice suits, whatever it's going to take to show you that I still got it. I still got it going.
We're talking to Patrick Young. A lot of times something like this happens, Patrick, and the world does stop. And of course it did. But tell us the story about your family, especially you still got married, did you not?
Yeah. And it wasn't our dream of doing it the way that we did. You know, fortunate to wear this wedding ring. My wife, she's actually cooking dinner right now. I'm so grateful for her. But we ended up getting married on the 7th of July in the hospital. And, man, that moment where I'm waiting for my wife to come in as we had the ceremony, you know, I'll be fully transparent and vulnerable. That was probably the most bittersweet, vulnerable, surreal moment I've ever experienced in my life, that this is not the way that life was supposed to be. This was not the way that I had a plan. Of course, I've had hardships and things before, but this is really hard. Like, I am in a wheelchair, not knowing if I'm going to walk again, but so thankful. And it reinforced that I married the right woman, that without hesitation. When I called her, Paul, when in the car, when I had the accident, she was just, she wasn't panicked. She was as still and cool and collective as could be. And it just reassured me that I'm with the woman of my dreams.
Patrick, I know there's been some positivity. You've been able to wiggle your toes, which some would consider a very positive sign. What are you being told, and what lies ahead just from that standpoint?
So I got discharged from Craig Hospital this past Friday. And what they do at Craig Hospital, which is awesome, if you are to never get better from where you are, they help you to find complete independence. So I can do any, as long as my house is the house that I'm living in, is the doorways are wide enough and the angles, I can get around and I can do whatever needs to be done. I can reach. Fortunately, I'm tall and I have long arms. So that's a great benefit to being so tall. But I'm the plan is there's an awesome neuro recovery place here in Jacksonville that I'll be going to 5 days a week. We'll begin pool therapy, which has had great results. Again, spinal cord injuries, there's no telling what can happen. There's many people that shouldn't walk again that do, and that other people that you think are going to walk again but don't. It can take years. It can take months. All I can control, Paul, is going one day at a time and understanding that there's so much life. This life that I live is so much bigger than myself. How am I showing up for my daughter? How am I showing up for my wife? How am I showing up around my coworkers as a man, regardless of my circumstances? When I walk in that door in Charlotte, how am I showing up to Dari and Peter and Alyssa, to Pat, to Peter, to Pete Waters, to whomever it may be? That's the thing. Those are the things that matter to me, because I can only control what I can control. And if it's not in my destiny to walk again, I can still have a great, fruitful life. But I swear on my life, I'm going to fight harder than anything. And I joked with Coach Donovan when the first time he and I connected, and I was like, Coach Donovan, if I would have worked this hard any of my 4 years in college, I would have been a first round pick. I was like, I would have been lottery. But Paul, things are looking great, especially with me being able to wiggle my toes. Signs of just got to be patient one day at a time.
Patrick, I know it's still so early, and you know, oftentimes when someone goes through an experience like this, they do serve as an inspiration. There are a lot of people watching and listening right now who are in terribly unfortunate situations, and I know that that's something that you care very deeply about, and you need to help yourself first. But I know your message today, it's one of hope, but it's also one of great faith. Can you address that part of it to those who are watching, who are, I know, inspired, as well as very concerned and praying for you right now?
Well, first, I want to just, again, Paul, thank you for the platform, this opportunity. If people ask, what are you doing? Having a chance to come on to this show, and with all your viewers and listeners, I've tried to call in a few times. I got to be honest, to try and catch you off guard. I just haven't been able to. But when it comes to my faith, it's the most important aspect of my life and who I am. Again, how I show up, and it's one thing to just go to church and be a part, but when you're actually challenged, do you really still hold true? And I have my moments where I struggle, and I want to talk to those people that are listening. I might come on this show and sound one particular way, but I have my struggles. And what helps me so much is just taking those moments of quiet and crying out to God, dwelling on the positive, dwelling on the things, on my blessings, being able to be vulnerable with my wife, being able to be vulnerable with my mom and my dad and my best friends, and tell them what I'm going through. So I'm not the only one carrying those burdens alone, because God cannot heal what you don't reveal, what you don't let people know. How can anyone know what you're struggling with if you don't open those things up to other people? But my biggest encouragement is just trusting that your pain is not an accident, in the sense of it's not meant to be wasted. I believe that this pain that I experienced was a wake-up call. Would I have designed it to be this way? Of course not. But it has challenged me in a way to face what I really believe and look at who I am as a man. And it you know, I'm in the middle of a move right now, moving from my family, my wife and daughter and grandfather. They drove from Nebraska to Jacksonville, and my wife has a lot of stuff, Paul. I'm gonna leave it at that. I got a lot of stuff too, and I've gotten rid of a lot, but my wife got a lot of stuff. But the humility that I've just learned in not being able to physically help in this manner, and I'm just like, patience. You just have to have patience and just control what you can control. And what I can control is my attitude, my choice of my perspective, my choice of who I'm going to listen to, what I'm going to allow into my mind daily. When you dwell on the negative and you put things negatively in front of your face all the time, what do you expect is going to come out? What do you expect? So I'm doing intentionally striving, and that's what I want to encourage everybody else to. Now, I've been reading this book right here, The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday, and it's allowed me to embrace what I'm going through. And many examples of men and women across the history of this great world that we lived in that have faced obstacles of all kinds and have become better people from it. So that's what I'm striving to do and going to do. I am going to do that with what has been put on my plate.
Patrick, we'll let you get to dinner. Looks like your daughter is eager to move you from this. But,
she is eager.
We can't thank you enough, and we're all pulling for you and praying for you and can't wait to see you right here as soon as the season begins. You be well.
You will. You as well. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much. Wow, what an incredible story with Patrick Young there. We will head to the break, get your reaction, and talk to Clark Lee a little bit later. We're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. It's great to have you here. And let's get to the calls. And Dave is up next in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Paul. That Patrick Young is such an inspiration to everybody, including my wife, Peggy. But it just goes to show you and all your listeners, no matter how bad you think you have it, somebody's got it worse. But they have the courage to pull through and go on and make the best of it.
Yeah, Dave, I agree. And I don't even know how to respond to what he said and his attitude, because we all feel sorry for ourselves. We didn't get the right promotion, we didn't get the raise, we didn't get whatever, and you hear that, and you've been through it in your own life. All that stuff is irrelevant. It doesn't mean a thing when you hear a story like that.
You got it, Paul. Exactly. That was perfectly said.
Well, and it's almost a cliche to talk about, you know, what, you know, beyond faith and family, what the most important things are, but your health, is really high on that list. And however you get to that point, but I was just gutted when I first heard this story recently, but I felt better about it, Dave, after listening to him talk.
Oh, I did too. Like I said, he's just an inspiration to everybody that's been through anything. And if you haven't, maybe it'll make some of the callers kind of wake up and just be inspired by his story.
Well, thank you very much. Best of Peggy. We're up against the break. I know that sounds quick, but we went a little bit long and we're about to head out very far west to the Pacific Ocean and talk to Clark Lee, getting ready for his opener on Saturday night. We're back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and it's week zero, and there's football this weekend. We can't wait to see it. And our next guest is going to be in one of the most eagerly anticipated games, Vanderbilt taking on Hawaii in Honolulu. Clark Lee joining us right now as we take a look at one of the prettiest places on the face of the earth, but something tells me Coach Lee is not the least bit concerned about the beauty of Hawaii, Diamond Head, the beaches. He's concerned about this football game. Coach, thank you for joining us. It looks like you're on the bus right now coming back from practice. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, we just finished our Thursday practice, so we're 48 hours away. And, at this point, you know, we're really just trying to dial into those last little bits of preparation so that our guys can go out and have a great start to the season. But it's been a fun week. We've had the challenge of handling the trip. I've been pleased so far with us getting acclimated, and it's the change of scenery has been nice. You know, you go through training camp and you're beating up on each other for a month. It's nice to kind of get out of town and have a chance to grow and bond together.
Coach, when you get this opportunity, you start on week zero. How does it change everything else, especially factoring in this is not exactly an easy trip?
No, I mean, we have a young team that we need to have a mature team to handle the trip. I've been telling the guys all week that the first thing we have to handle is the trip, and then it's handling the week. You heard there on the lead in some of the events we've done, and I don't want this to be all about football. I want this to be about immersing ourselves in a culture and a new place and learning about the history and the culture of the island. And so for me, handling the trip well is both taking all those things in, but putting great boundaries around our time as preparation allows. And so handling the trip, handling the week, handling the prep. And then it's about self-mastery and then focusing our attention on the opponent. That's kind of been our formula and our process that we've taken here to the island.
With, I think it's 5 hours, and the times I've been to Hawaii, it's bewildering, waking up and there's already football on, whether it's NFL or college, everything is different. Young people are used to things like that, but how do you adjust your clock, so to speak? Because you just can't get up at a normal time considering it's not that time where you are.
Well, one reason we wanted to come out for the week, obviously, was to have the experience of being on the island. And, you know, being in Hawaii is a unique place, and it's something that, you don't often get to do. It was the trip out is significant, and we wanted to make sure we took time out here so that our players have the chance to experience it. But also, you know, being out here for the week allows us to acclimate. And honestly, that started as soon as we got on the plane, you know, setting our phones to Hawaii time and you know, really being disciplined about hydrating and also when we were sleeping and when we weren't sleeping. It's taken, you know, 4 days to finally feel like we're on a normal schedule. The whole goal for us is that, you know, and look, I'm still waking up at, you know, 2 a.m. or whatever, but I'm able to get back to sleep now, which is good. But the goal is when the ball's put on the tee on Saturday, that we feel like we're ready for optimal performance. And I think it's going to take the week to get there in terms of our biological clocks. But we have smart players that are hungry to win and be successful. And so they're listening. And, you know, we're maintaining our discipline here so that we have the best chance to play at our highest level on Saturday.
With Coach Lee, Coach, you can't look ahead. This is the first game. That's the only game that matters. But your schedule sets up really interesting. And I know how important every game is. But in the first game, you think you know, but how much do you know about your own team? And especially the other side where, you know, based on some of the people with whom we have spoken, it's a complete mystery as well because of the personnel changes and the coaching changes.
College football is an interesting experience that way. I mean, we don't have preseason games and the level of roster turnover, you know, every year, but particularly now in terms of the transfer portal, it's hard to know. We're going to learn a lot about our team on Saturday. I feel really good about our level of commitment, our level of preparation. I can see and measure the advancement from a year ago. So that's been, you know, that's been fun to experience the growth that we have seen and measured. But, you know, for us, it's about, you know, dialing in on Saturday and being ready to have a confrontational attitude on the field where we're, you know, we can't sit back on our heels here and think that Hawaii is not going to try to throw the first punch. They are going to be out and they're going to be excited. They're going to be energized around a new coach and an island that's behind them. You know, we have a young team that I think has handled this trip really well, but, you know, Saturday will reveal a lot about where we are. You know, I think obviously the game is hugely important to us, like every game is. But I also think it's not the finish to the season, it's the start of the season. And so part of my job is to maintain a perspective with respect to the results of the game. No matter that result is to look at where we are and where we need to go to become the team that I know we can be. This is the first step, and it's an exciting step, but the first step nonetheless.
Finally, Coach, and we'll let you get back to your team in a second, but you've made a lot of news, as all coaches do during the offseason, talking about the present and the future with a great deal of confidence. I realize there's no other way to go about it, but please share with us a few more thoughts as your confidence in making this program, you said, among the best. How do you do that?
Yeah, I think, Paul, first of all, and you know, I didn't go down to Atlanta to draw attention to myself or to that's never my intention. You know, I'm going down there to be true to myself and to represent this program and to represent these players. And for me, I would never sign up to be a part of something that wasn't striving to be the level best. We want to be the standard in the country. I recognize that that's about growth for us right now. You know, we're still in the early stages of this, and so there's not a sense of delusion there. It's a matter of knowing that we have a top 15 school in one of the best cities in the country playing football in the SEC that I feel like has never really been given a chance to reach its potential. You know, we're going to be a relationship-centered program. We're going to be student-athlete focused. And in doing that, you know, we feel like we set a foundation for future success where, you know, this will be a place where parents send their sons to grow into the men that they're meant to be. I also feel like as we build here, you know, with the success that we start to see and results with the facilities that are being built, you're going to start talking about opportunities to level up. And, you know, I know we're aiming high. You know, I've got the luxury of doing that. I'm coaching at my alma mater in my hometown. You know, Paul, my goal is to be at Vanderbilt for a long time. I want to see Vanderbilt to sustain success. And hopefully when I'm finished with the job, I pass it off to the next person. They take it even further. But to me, to be the best program in the country, you need to sustain winning. You need to be playing for championships. You need to be graduating your athletes and sending them on to a life of purpose and meaning. And we can do that here. And it's not going to be tomorrow, but it's going to happen. It's the right people doing the right things the right way over time. To me, will always win out. So that's what that's about to me. And again, those that know me understand. Those that don't need to understand that when I speak from the heart. If you cut me open, that's what would bleed out. You know, I want to be a part of the best program in the country, and I want that to be at Vanderbilt University right in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well said and well done. Coach, thank you. All the best Saturday night, and we can't wait to see you in a couple weeks when we get to Nashville. Thank you so much.
Paul, thank you. Great to be with you.
You got it. Maybe the first time we've ever interviewed anybody live on a bus, but that's why you watch this show for first. We'll take a break. More to come right after this. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And a reminder, tomorrow afternoon we have a special announcement on the program. No, I'm not leaving. I know everybody was hoping for that. We are going to maybe I will share with you the first class of the Feinbaum Show Ring of Honor. Who will be in and who's out? Well, I don't mean out, but yeah, I guess I do mean that. These are the nominees one more time: Bobby from Birmingham, Chris, I-Man Jim, Legend Jim, Larry, Jeff, Shane, Charles, and Tammy. Matt is up next in Arizona. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Matt, we're doing great. We hope you are.
I'm doing fantastic, especially just after seeing that captivating interview with Patrick Young. Just what an absolutely extraordinary young man. I remember watching him in his days at Florida, and I did not know about this accident that he had over the summer. And just commenting on the circumstances, you know, I grew up along the countryside in a small town, and our family farm was surrounded by gravel roads and dirt fields on all sides. And when the farmers do the planting in the spring and the corn starts to sprout, in the fall, we got a dirt road, an intersection about a mile north of our farm, and it's on a bit of a slope too, and you've got tunnel vision when you're driving on that thing, when you can't see beyond the corn. If you could meet somebody at the intersection and get T-boned and have no idea. So when Patrick talked about that, it just kind of really made me think about, boy, you know, life really is short, and you just never know when, if this could be your final day or what's going to happen. But I'm just reminded of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and just his faith and his determination and his attitude. I'm just absolutely floored by, and I love the interview. Just what a remarkable young man. I wish him well on his journey, but you know, it's just, you just never know what's going to happen. And, you know, he talks about his faith, and it really just inspired me.
Matt, thank you so very much. It's a pleasure to hear from you, and I appreciate you calling. And listen, I realize you can flip this show on at a moment and hear griping and grievance and go, what a stupid show. And then you put on an interview like Patrick, and it can completely reshape how you view things. And I know that was the effect that it had on a lot of us here, just hearing his story. Handsome Joe is up next.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum. And hey, I've heard just part of the show. I'm sorry that I missed that interview you were just talking about, but I do hope y'all will replay that, because from that last caller, it sounded like, and you, that sounded like that was a very good, with Patrick, that was a very good interview. And I would like to hear that. I missed it today, but I hope you can replay that, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. One thing people don't want to hear are the people that conducted the interview, you know, saying how great it was. But it really is worth. We just shared it on our Twitter feed, and if you missed it, and I know a lot of you, and I think will this show be on again or not tonight? It'll be on overnight, so 1 o'clock in the morning. So if you didn't get a chance, we'll replay it. I encourage you to watch it again, though, because it really was amazing.
I do record the show, so I will get to listen to it.
Okay.
But I did hear Jim and Jeff, you know, earlier, and to me it just kind of sounded like Beavis and Butthead talking. I mean, that's just, Paul, I mean, it's ignorant even listening to these two. And hey, that Ring of Honor, first, five really, Bobby in Birmingham, Shane, Tammy, Legend, and I-Man. I mean, outside of that, everybody else is just a joke, Paul. And I heard, you know, about Stephen A. Smith running for president, Paul. Hey, I got an idea, Paul. Why don't you run for president? I'll run for president. It don't matter what party we're in. And you pick me as your vice president, I'll pick you as my vice president. And whoever wins,
Joe, I would rather be the vice president, because by all accounts, it's an easy job. President is tough. I mean, you have to sit there and listen to people all day long. And I guess I do that. I mean, I don't know. I think I can do it now that I think about it.
Well, and plus if you're president, you get criticized. I mean, it don't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. There's people going to gripe and gripe and gripe. But you know what? Hey, another important thing is, 9 days from now, y'all on y'all station is going to air the number one team in the country, the Alabama Crimson Tide. And by golly, Paul, I can't wait to get rocking and rolling with this thing, Paul, because you know that game's not even going to be close. But I am for Vandy this Saturday night. I mean, I heard you say good luck to him, and hey, I'm all for Vandy getting off to a good start.
I came away very encouraged by the interview with Clark Lee. Will you be well? Handsome Joe, take care of yourself. Squirrel is up next in Mississippi.
Man, what a honor to follow Handsome Joe. And, you know, he touched on a few things about today's show, you know, some animosity amongst the callers. You remember years back when we had a talk and you said that you consider all the callers your children?
Yes, I do remember saying that.
Do you remember who you said your favorite child was? Is he still your favorite child? That's my only question.
Well, listen, you understand being a father, and you never want to pick one over the other.
Well, it's hard to be honest with you. But, you know, your number one leg humper, Legend, has been real amusing the past couple of days. About choked when he said if he hadn't killed somebody, he'd be the coach at Alabama. But he called me something I've never been called today. He called me a scholar. That really puzzled me. But, you know, when you look back on it, if all you're dealing with is a GED, then I guess everybody's a scholar, you know, so maybe he was looking from that perspective. I don't know, but do I come on like a scholar on here, Paul?
I don't think you do. To me, you come on like a wise man.
Okay, I'll take that. With age comes wisdom.
Yeah, with age comes wisdom. Because a scholar often, when I think of scholars, I think of guys with...
Liberals?
I think of guys with bad tweed coats with dandruff on the lapels, wearing a bow tie.
And they vote Democratic every year.
Circular glasses just like mine. and using a bunch of big words that nobody cares about.
Yeah, I like that. I like that wise man, though. I'll take that any day. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Yeah, wise man's the wise man in history did pretty well. Okay. Let's go to Hastings next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Hey, appreciate you taking my call. Great show as always. I think I've cracked the code, and Nick Saban is living in the year 3020. Everything he does is calculated, even from the NIL comments with Jackson State and everything. He got more boosters. With this one, he made the comment about the rebuilding year because he knew the media would blow it up and get Alabama fans riled up, and they would know that, hey, if this is a rebuilding year and we go to the championship, imagine what he can do in the year 2030 after a couple more rebuilding years. And I think he got that contract extension based on those remarks. It's calculated, Paul. It was brilliant. It was genius.
I would agree with you. I think, and I'm sure this will sound harsh, but Nick Saban is one of the most calculating people I've ever met.
Yeah, and I just thought
he doesn't do anything without a purpose, whether it's good or bad. I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this, but that's why he's so successful. He doesn't waste words. When he speaks, he's speaking to a specific group. He's not speaking to us. He's speaking to his team. He's speaking to parents. He's speaking to future recruits. He doesn't waste time with average folks like us. He's got a targeted audience at all times.
Exactly, Paul. And hey, I appreciate you taking my call, but it was calculated and worked out in his favor.
It has worked out well for him.
Hey, thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. We're out of time. We thank all of you for being a part of this. And guess what? We get to do this one more time this week. Have a good night.